fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. And friends, this week we've been talking about spiritual combat, that the Christian life is, in the words of Pope Francis, a militant endeavor. And it's the only way we can live it. It's the only way we can bear fruit, and that it's militant because we're born into a battle, and it's an inescapable battle. And what's at stake is the highest thing we can imagine. It's really our eternal destiny. If you haven't had a chance to listen to the program this past week, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are all there. You can listen to them on the computer and or download them and put them on your iPod. Listen to them when it's convenient for you. Our television programs are on there, Choices We Face and Crossing the Goal. Just want to remind you tonight at 10 p.m. is Crossing the Goal on EWTN television, Sunday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Monday morning at 6:30 a.m. Anyway, the theme of spiritual combat is so important because it's the inescapable truth about the life we're living. It's the most accurate diagnosis of the central drama that's unfolding on the earth. Jesus came and entered into that drama, that battle, as a great warrior. Jesus fought to the point of shedding his blood. The apostles fought to the point of giving up their lives. They fought. They were warriors. They were spiritual warriors. And their focus was not on their own comfort, their own safety, their own prosperity, their own fame. This is such an important reflection for us, friends, to see the difference between Jesus, his presence in the world, his orientation, his priorities, his goals, what he was focused on, and then how the apostles walked in his footsteps and did the exact same thing. The Son of Man, Scripture said, had no place to lay his head. Jesus did not pursue wealth. He didn't pursue worldly power. He didn't pursue worldly fame. He didn't pursue personal comfort. He didn't look at this world like, wow, I have just such a short time here on earth, and I want to make this world a fun house. I want it to be Disneyland. I just want it to be a circus. I want everybody to have fun. I want to have fun. I want to make sure I get plenty of fun in my experience here on earth. It's not even in Jesus' vocabulary. Jesus was focused on seeking first the kingdom of the Father and to accomplish what he came to this world for, why the Father sent him. As I said earlier in the week, Jesus came to make war on the devil, to literally, Scripture says, to destroy the work of the devil. Why? Because the whole world, Scripture says, is in the power of the devil. The Catechism reminds us this in verse 409, the dramatic situation of the whole world, which is in the power of the evil one, makes man's life a battle. It makes man's life a battle. It goes on. The whole of man's history has been the story of a dour combat with the powers of evil, stretching, so our Lord tells us, from the very dawn of history until the last day. Finding himself in the midst of the battlefield, man has to struggle to do what is right, and it is at great cost to himself and aided by God's grace that he succeeds in achieving his own inner integrity. Here's what it's all about. His or her own inner integrity. What does that mean? Integral. It means fighting for the truth about who you are. It's fighting for a life, a way of life, a way of living, of speaking, that's consistent with your nature, with the stamp that God has put on you, his image and likeness. To come to the point, the fight, friends, in part, is to come to the realization that I'm not my own. I belong to another. I didn't make myself. I did not create myself. I didn't design myself. The truth is, I don't even know why I'm here apart from God's revelation. It doesn't matter how much we achieve or acquire or discover about the material world we live in. None of that can answer the why question. Why am I here? And the who am I? The Catechism is reminding us that the spiritual combat, the center of the spiritual combat that each one of us must fight if we're going to enter the kingdom of God. Friends, we will never enter the kingdom of God without effort, without serious effort. It just requires it. Look at Jesus, look at the apostles, look at the saints. Pope Francis, I read on Monday, said that very thing. He said, but unfortunately, we fall asleep. We don't want to fight. We give up the fight because we want to. Something inside us called the flesh wants to have what the world is serving up that's inconsistent with God's plan. I want the pleasures of the world. I want the glitz and the glory of the world. I want the fame of the world. I want the funhouse attitude. I want, you know, perpetual entertainment for me. You see it all the time. And one of the ways, I was just golfing with a friend the other day, a young man, wonderful guy. And we were talking about the problem, the phenomenon, you might say, of how many young men today are afraid of getting married. They just keep pushing it off till later in life. And he said, you know, many of his peers, friends who are engineers, say pretty openly, I don't want to get married. If I do, I'm going to wait till I'm much older. Why? I said, what's the reason? He said, because they all believe that once you get married, your life is over. Your life is over. What does that mean, your life is over? But this is how I see it. This is the spiritual reality I think is present. You can't be a boy anymore. You have to be a man. You have to walk in Jesus' footsteps. You have to find the truth about what it means to be a man, which means is to lay down your life for another, to sacrifice, to give your life for the good of another. And the battle that's being revealed there, the spiritual battle, is you can see these young men, because of the culture we're living in, because of, let's say, my own generation, the boomer generation, how we lost, many of us lost a sight of what truly matters. We've been seduced into believing that the apple that's being served up here in this world is where the action is, and that's fun. I want to live a life where I'm going to have fun, and I'm going to have the recognition of others. And so what the devil does, he seduces us into saying yes to that because we want that. A dimension of us wants that. We want to design our own life, create our own funhouse, if you will. And in the process, we lose sight of what truly matters. And so here are these young men. I'm sure many of them are just really fine guys. But this great thing that God has given us, it's right revealed from the beginning of God's creation. Male and female, he created them. The two become one flesh so they can have a family, a community. We can participate in God's creative plan for all eternity. We can participate in an act of love in surrendering ourselves to each other, male and female, husband and wife, promising covenant love, trusting that it's possible because of the mercy of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Understanding the awesome gift that God has given us in marriage and family life. That the love I have for my wife, the love we have as a couple, can enter into the love of God in such a unique way that it produces eternal creatures, human beings, that will live forever. And see, these young men, they're saying, oh, geez, I don't want that. My life is over. Jesus came to say, time out. Here's the truth. You were made for love, and love is self-donation. Love is sacrifice. Love is patience and kindness and goodness. This is where you'll find your fulfillment and your glory. If you miss this, you miss everything. If you set your heart on fame, if you set your heart on power, if you set your heart on, you know, just your own personal comfort, and you avoid sacrifice, and you avoid that, it's very clear. You'll miss the very purpose for why you're here in the world. I was thinking, as this friend of mine and I were talking on the golf course, I thought, one of the things marriage has taught me is that prior to being married, I don't know if I loved anybody in this sense. It was easy to love everybody I knew and treat everybody nice because most people I didn't live with. When you're married, what ends up happening is, in a very short order, you come to see your own flaws, your own self-centeredness, your lack of love. That's what I experienced. And I remember being, you know, wrestling with Debbie and, you know, in the first year of our marriage, as all couples do, have your moments of kind of fighting and arguing. And I'm thinking, and I might have even said it in my stupidity and my arrogance. I said, you know, look, I don't remember having this kind of conflict with anybody in my life, any other friends that I've had. So it must be you, you know, it must be her or something. And the blindness that I had, that I didn't know how to love. And marriage and family is the school of love. It's God's school of love. It's so important. But these young guys, they look around and say, no, what life is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be filled with experiences. It's supposed to be, you know, the video games and great experiences and extreme games and parties and fun and no boundaries and success in career. And all that kind of stuff. That's what it's supposed to be. Get it all while you can. And unfortunately, friends, what that normally means is there's little or no room for God. If there is, it's the God that I shape. It's the God that I fit into my life and I'm in charge. It's not the God of the Bible. It's not the Lord Almighty, or as St. Peter exhorted us in that beautiful passage. You know, he said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. These young guys have no idea what that means. When they think about God, they think, oh man, you're talking, it's going to ruin my weekend. It's going to take all the fun out of my life. It's going to limit what I can do. And that's the great lie of the garden. That's the reign of Satan. Now that sounds dramatic. It may sound intense. We like to just talk about, well, you know, these guys are going to grow up eventually and let them have their fun now. Let them just do their thing and they'll come back to the church or whatever. That's not really true. It doesn't happen very much anymore. Maybe it used to happen. It doesn't happen that way anymore. More and more people are just drifting away and believing the lie, I'm happier without religion, quote unquote. I'm happier without God. I'm happier without church in my life. I have only so much time in my life and I don't have time for that. The decision that's being made there, whether they fully grasp it or not, is yes to me and no to God. And ultimately, yes to me means yes to the devil. It's really true. Do these guys sit down and say, hey, yeah, I really want to follow the devil? Well, no, they don't. They say, I want to please myself. I want to seek first Peter's kingdom, Peter's design for life, not seek first the kingdom of God. There's the conflict. But if I'm seeking Peter first, I'm following the footsteps of the devil because I want to be worshipped. I want to have fun. I want my life to be defined by how the world defines success, not how Jesus Christ and the apostles defined it. Friends, we need to battle every day for the sake of our salvation and the sake of others. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.